Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
Yeah, I played this song the other day. It is the song that runs on the end credits of the movie Soul on Fire. It's a damn good song, too, I gotta tell you.
God, I'm running for your heart.
This is the story of John O'Leary, St. Louis native, who, when he was 9 years old, set himself on fire.
I know what it feels like to think you've probably thrown your life away.
To move through the adversities of life, we must have a reason to thrive that is bigger than all the challenges that we face.
The most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire.
Yeah, that's Joel Courtney, who does a great job of playing Mr. O'Leary, who is with us on the phone tonight on 97.1 FM Talk on the Cloud Nine that has to be beyond all Cloud Nines. John, how are you tonight?
Mark Reardon, you put me in a good mood, man. I am doing great right now.
I loved Joel's performance because he really nailed your mannerisms, and I think I said this on Friday, too. I said, I don't think I've ever seen John O'Leary when he's not smiling. And I mean, like, smiling ear to ear. That's what I think about when I think of you, John.
Yeah, you know, Bloody Marys in the morning help get the day off, right?
It,
and just keep
it.
That going throughout the day. And it puts a smile on your face, Reardon.
Well, I want to talk about you right now. I don't want to talk about the movie in the particulars because what happens, I want people to see this story if they're not familiar with it. I do have a couple of questions just because I was curious, and you've shared your story a lot of times. But is it true just from the public speaking standpoint that you were invited when you were younger to go to this Girl Scout meeting? You had someone invite you and say, hey, your story seems appealing. Would you like to come and speak? And this is portrayed in the movie as a very awkward moment. So did that really happen? Is that how the, you know, the whole public speaking gig started?
So we can answer that question and a whole bunch of others probably by just saying that film is real life, man.
Yeah.
They filmed the scenes where I was burned at my mom and dad's house. They filmed the place where I was married at the Shrine of St. Joseph. The scenes from Busch Stadium, of course, were shot down there. The conversations are accurate. And yeah, man, I was working construction at age 28, and a Girl Scout troop leader named Deanna pulls up at a construction site, invites me to speak, and almost on a dare, I said yes. In the film, it shows me speaking to 6 Girl Scouts. In real life, it was 3. And I think in the film, they gave me a lot more credit for how successful I was in the remarks. And he was not very successful in it, man. It was a lousy first keynote.
Yeah.
But you got to start somewhere. So that was the first deal.
That is amazing. Now, you're also an executive producer on this film. You're around the set all the time. Just talk about the last few weeks, John. I know there were a lot of screenings here in St. Louis getting people excited, word-of-mouth screenings, but you had a big red carpet. There's been a lot of attention. What has your life been like the last few weeks?
Kind of a blur, a little bit of a sprint. I've been more familiar with flight attendants and pilots than my own children and wife over the last month or so. We've just been a lot of time on the road. It's a national release, so a lot of time in New York and LA and around the country. But man, my heart's for St. Louis. And
yeah.
So when they gave the mandate that the premiere would be in LA, I fought back and said, we've got to have it in St. Louis. And so we did do it in St. Louis, and we rolled out, part of the metaphor, we rolled out the red carpet in a mighty way. 2,300 people at the Powell. California, New York media came in for it, and they saw what makes St. Louis so special, man. I mean, Reardon, it was an incredible fest of celebrating our community, our story, our lives, and the truth that we're better than sometimes we claim.
I was trying to think of a movie that is more St. Louis-centric, just with the visuals and everything about St. Louis. I don't know if one really exists. And it's great to have a moment where you can kind of be proud of St. Louis and everything around here. How many times have you seen the film?
So it's been through a bunch of iterations. So I've probably seen it about 100 times. In its final iteration, so eventually Sony picks it up, they make a few more tweaks, and then they roll it out.
Yeah.
And in that iteration, I've probably seen it a dozen times.
So in that situation with the movie company, are they, once they pick up distribution, can they make decisions above what you think the decision should be made? Is that how it works?
They were sweet, Mark. They were very collaborative, and ultimately they do get the final say, but there were several scenes that they wanted to cut, and I argued back, and they listened. They wanted, we said this earlier, they wanted to do the premiere in L.A. We argued back, and they listened. So I found them to be actually really humble and willing to listen to ideas that might be better than the ones they were putting forward.
So one of the things I think they made, I'm going to take a guess here, just because, as you know, I was in the film critic world for a long time. It doesn't seem like they screened it for critics. So if you go on Rotten Tomatoes, for example, there's not a Rotten Tomatoes score. However, if you look at the audience score, it's like 98%. So who needs the critics, right, John?
Well, you know, so that's a cool thing. Last weekend, Tron was the number one movie in the nation. Good for Tron. And they put $150 million to make it so. We are a far smaller budget film, and we are the number five movie in the nation, which is pretty doggone cool.
Yeah.
Number five movie in the country is filmed right here in St. Louis, celebrating the great city of St. Louis and the stories that take place here. But more than that, the number one ranked audience film last weekend was not Tron or a million other films that showed up. It was Soul on Fire. And so this movie does move people. You're starting to see a few more critics show up. It's about a 70% critic that like it so far. So it's, they are leaning toward liking this thing. But Mark, I'm not after the critics, man.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to impress them. We are after people. We're after lives. I've been so floored that not only middle-aged folks like you and I love this film, our parents love this film, our children love this film. When you stand in the back of a theater and you watch people leave, they laugh, they cry, they clap, and they walk out of there changed. And that's true across every demographic.
Look, I experienced this. You know, I sent you this picture before my daughter and I saw the film on Thursday night from Ronnie's, and she really loved it, and we talked about it. We had a conversation with it after, you know, after we saw the movie, and about the messaging of making your life matter, because that's the overriding message here. And, you know, I have to ask you this question, because I have a friend who is in town over the weekend who has a daughter who's battled cancer a couple of times. She's 16 years old right now. She had a terrible first battle, and then she recovered. And then she woke up about a year and a half ago, and she couldn't even move her legs. She was paralyzed, and, you know, she came back in both particular instances. But one of the things that my friend told me, and, you know, he's very familiar with your story and wants Kira, her, his daughter, to see the film, is that she's not as motivated about her own recovery right now. I think maybe there's a little depression involved, and she's not doing, in the parents' opinion, the hard work to improve her strength and stamina. You had a situation
right,
where you were in a lot of pain. So what do you say to a little girl like that who's gone through hell and back? And I think of people like her, and I think of people like you and my friend Chris Smith, who you've gotten to know, who have been shot in the head,
yeah,
and have gone through a lot more damaging things than I probably ever will. But how do you talk to a kid who maybe at times wants to give up, like you probably did, John, and motivate
right,
them to go on with the rest of their life?
Well, I'll answer that. But first, my favorite part about the film is John O'Leary is not a hero in the film Soul on Fire. In fact, if there's one fool in it, his name is John. Everyone else who shows up are the heroes. And so I love the fact that you're not cheering for a burn survivor. You're cheering for the nurse, and you're cheering for his siblings, and you're cheering for this pretty girlfriend of his. And it's everybody else that you get behind. And so when you ask that question about this little girl, man, I think my first encouragement would be to the parents to just keep loving her where she is, as she is, to have faith that eventually she will hit bottom and then bounce forward. But you got to be there for her when that happens. And then as they bring me back in to meet her, I want to try to motivate her out of her slump. I think it's important in life just to meet people where they are, to listen to them, to grieve with them, to be angry with them for a while. And then once you've earned their trust, and that takes a little bit, that's when you're going to have courageous conversations about, like, man, where are we? What does tomorrow look like? What's it going to take to get there? And what do you have to do right now in order to take the next right step? But, Mark, I was, after I got burned, man, I didn't come through this thing without scars on the inside or outside. Yeah. I wrestled with that for 20 years before I started really building up my life. And so if this little girl who has just been through the worst wants to wrestle for a while in the mud, I would join her and not try to rise her out of that, out of that wake. I would be there with her in it and then give her some time and space to figure out what she really wants to do next.
So one question I've always wanted to ask you, maybe I have, but you know, you come away from the movie, you don't see, your parents are always supportive. They say, John, it's up to you if you're going to live, right? There's scenes in the movie. But was there ever a period, and I ask this seriously, where your dad or your mom said, what the hell were you thinking, kid playing with fire in that garage?
You know, it's funny, man. If I missed curfew by 2 minutes, I was crushed. I mean, my life was ruined when I did little things. Then you burn down the family home and you don't get any trouble ever. So I don't understand how my parents parented.
Yeah.
But here's what I think they got right. They made the big things and the little things. And when John hit rock bottom, they were there to guide him forward. They gave me tough love, which in the film comes across as learning how at one point to pick up your own fork. Learning how when you don't have fingers to start playing the piano.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Learning how when you don't feel like extending your hand to meet somebody else, to shake their hand and grab them and pull them in like I've done with you, Mark, so many times.
Hugging it out, I know, all, you have, right.
All these things that I've become in my life are the result of parents who would not let me make excuses.
And that movie was dedicated to your father at the end, I believe, wasn't it?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, there's a reason for that. And, you know, the movie ends. I think the most moving scene in the entire film is the final scene.
It is.
So I'll have your listeners go to check that out. But a scene a few before that is at the wedding when John, you know, I'll give away the ending. John gets married. He has a couple kids. Good for him. But they get married, man. And in the second row is my actual father. And Mark, my dad, as you know, has Parkinson's disease, was unable to stand for 20 years or so. But when Sean McNamara, the director of Reagan and Soul Surfer and now Soul on Fire, yelled the word action, my heroic dad, a veteran, stands up and you see him in this movie, man, with this resolute bit of joy on his face. And so we lost my dad on May 30th. And every single time I watch this scene shot in the Shrine of St. Joseph, as the girl playing my wife is actually wearing my wife's wedding dress, walks down the aisle and they dolly left. I look at this second row, second aisle, and there's my dad showing us what real courage looks like. It's not easy in life to step up, to pull your shoulders back, but that's the invitation. And my dad answered every day of his life.
I've just had chills for like 60 seconds straight, John O'Leary, hearing you tell that story. That is amazing. Congratulations on this project. I love your brother. You know that. This is an important film to see. And I'm so glad you're having so much success. And I told, you know, the young actor, Spencer Davis Milford, who plays your roommate and best friend, you had him pinch hit for you on Friday because you were on that airplane. He was fantastic. he was really, really talented.
And, he's a stud.
Yeah, and you put a great cast together, so I'm glad that everything is working out. But one thing I told Spencer, and I think you'll understand this, I said, Spencer, do you know the term outkick your coverage? And he said, yes. I said, man, with Beth, John O'Leary really outkicked his coverage, didn't he? He agreed with me when I defined it for him. And I mean that, John. Say hi to your wife, too. Thanks so much for coming on tonight.
Reardon, you and I have radio faces, man. So we did this life together, buddy. You're
right.
With me.
We'll have you on again soon. Thanks, John O'Leary. Take care.
Thank you, Mark.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.